A reading from John's Gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them all the things that he had said to her. Happy Easter! And what a wonderful thing Easter Day is. Do you know, it marks for us the end of Lent. The fasting is over, people. We can once again fill our boots with chocolate or crisps or whatever it was that you might have chosen to give up. And of course, today is the day we celebrate the resurrection. After the sadness of Good Friday, we remember how Mary found the tombstone rolled away. The tomb was empty and she saw for herself that Jesus was risen. Jesus is alive. He has beaten death. What could be better than that? Well, of course, nothing could be better than that. And this week, as I have journeyed through Holy Week, as I have reread the Bible accounts of Jesus's last week again, my prayer has been this: Lord, show me something new. Show me something that might help me to understand something of just the most amazing and remarkable thing that the resurrection is. And as I contemplated the resurrection again, I found myself realizing that actually I don't really feel much like celebrating, if I'm honest. Do you know, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus so much. And the knowledge of his death and his resurrection and the love that he has for me brings me so much joy. It's just that right now, with everything else that we've got going on, I'm not really in the party mood. And you know, it occurs to me that I, like so many others, have spent much of the last year surrounded by darkness. Due to our job, the people who I have the privilege of walking alongside have found themselves in great darkness. There are people who have died that I always assumed I would have the privilege of taking their funerals. And yet this year, I've not been able to attend them, let alone go to them. I'm not what you'd call a hugger, but there are so many comforting hugs that I've not been able to give. I have been unable to sit and hold the hand of someone who is dying or lonely or depressed. And that is normally one of the greatest privileges of what we do. You know, as a vicar, this last year has been a real, real difficult one. And it's not just work. For us as a family, things have not really been that what you'd call a barrel of laughs. You know, I have a nephew. He's about 2.5 now, and he was 12 weeks old the last time I got to cuddle him. I have another nephew who is, he turned 1 back in January, and I've never met him. There have been times this year when I have been so desperate to be able to be there to support my brothers and sisters when they've needed me. And I've not been able to, well, not in person anyway. And I know these are situations that so many people find themselves in. It's not just me. And that's not to say I say this, but it's not just to say that there haven't been moments of great celebrations this year. Do you know what? There have. There really have. There have been the most wonderful, wonderful stories of people coming to faith. There have been babies born. There have been weddings that have been able to take place. There have been miraculous healings and moments in our house of just the most of just laughter and silliness as lockdown has afforded us as a family to be able to spend more time together than we've ever done before. But as I reflect on this last year, I do think that the darkness has outweighed the light. And you know what that is? That is a really difficult thing for me as a vicar to be able to admit to you. You know, it's my job to bring the joy. It's my job to remind you that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness will never overcome it. John's words, not mine. And yet this year, this week, in fact, at times, do you know, that light has seemed so very, very dim. And so as I found myself rereading the scriptures this week, as I looked at many an Easter card depicting an empty tomb or an empty cross in front of the backdrop of this lovely, sunny, warm spring day, it occurred to me that that actually isn't the picture of the resurrection that the Bible paints. The Bible's picture is a much darker tale. The Bible, in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all tell the story of Jesus' resurrection. And in all four of them, the accounts begin with words to the effect of, "Early in the morning, while it was still dark." And you know, I had this real light bulb moment, and you're going to all laugh at me at this and go, "Oh yeah, Liz, we knew that already." But I had this real, real revelation that the resurrection didn't happen in the light. You know, Jesus didn't rise in the sunset as those pictures would have us believe. Jesus rose in the darkness. It is actually in the darkness that the joy of Easter Sunday really began. It wasn't some bright, sunny moment where Jesus rose surrounded by shouts of hallelujahs and praises and shouts of joy from friends who had loved and lived with him. No, the resurrection happened in the quiet, in the dark, at a time when the disciples were grieving the loss of their friend. The resurrection happened in the dark, at a time when the disciples had apparently forgotten what Jesus had said to them. It was dark and they had lost all hope. They were huddled together and they were miserable. They were in their own literal and metaphorical darkness. And it is in the actual darkness that Jesus, unwitnessed by any human being, you know, this isn't like his birth, there's no trumpet blast, there's no heavenly host of angels singing or star lighting up the sky like it was at Christmas. It's dark. And you know, there was no one there. Try as we might, we cannot explain the resurrection. It is a mystery that only God knows. And yet what we do know is this, that somehow in an ancient tomb, God worked in the darkness to bring life out of death, from a place of loss and misery, from a place of grief and pain. God brought about the resurrection. The resurrection happened in the darkness, but it's not until the darkness gives way to the light, until the dawn of a new day comes, that we then suddenly see Jesus. And even then, you know, when Jesus does become visible, it took a while for him to be recognized, didn't it? You know, Mary knew him and loved him, but she didn't recognize him until he actually called her name. God worked in the darkness so that once the light came, we'd be able to see the risen Jesus. And you know, it occurs to me that so often that's the case in our lives, isn't it? How often do we face dark times? Perhaps, you know, times where we wonder where Jesus is. Perhaps we're like the disciples and we begin to lose hope. Because in the darkness, we can't always see the miracles that God is doing. And yet the resurrection reminds us that when Jesus was surrounded by the darkness of death, when the disciples had lost all hope, there in that very darkness, God was working his ultimate miracle. And so often it's the case, isn't it, that we are not aware of what God has done until the darkness gives way to the light. And then suddenly, just as Jesus appeared to Mary, we see Jesus there, right in front of our eyes, God's miracles in front of our eyes. When we were in theological college, when we were coming to the end of our time, there comes a time when you have to have conversations about curacies and where you might go afterwards. And of course, this led me to have conversations with our bishop too, and I won't bore you with the details, but there were some very difficult conversations about where we each thought that God was calling me and what he was calling me to do. And ultimately, I had to make the decision not to get ordained, and it was a difficult decision. And it sounds like nothing big, I know, but this took me to what turned out to be a really dark place. You know, I had given up a really well-paid job to go to theological college. I thought I knew what God wanted me to do, and yet I had to have this pain of watching my friends get ordained when I wasn't, of watching my husband get ordained when I didn't. I had to listen to people gossiping about who they thought I might be having an affair with, because of course that was the only reason that somebody wouldn't get ordained. We moved to a place where that we both hated for Kai's curacy. We lost a son around that time, and we were both just utterly and completely miserable. And I had no idea where God was. I was fairly convinced that God had totally abandoned me, that all the sacrifices I had made in order to step into ministry were totally and utterly for nothing. Fast forward 4 years. It's Palm Sunday, and I'm being ordained into the role that would enable me to set up and work within some of the best mission opportunities I ever have. And it wasn't really even until a couple of years after I was ordained, and I was doing what I was doing, that I was able to look back and realise that through all that darkness, through all the hard times and all the difficult experiences where I couldn't see God, it was there that I realised, in the light of my new situation, in the light of that new day, that I saw the miracles that God had been doing in my darkness. It was in the darkness, you know, that God had been transforming me. It was in the darkness that God was taking every horrible experience I lived through, and he miraculously turned them into something that would bless me and bless others. While I was in the darkness, God was working his miracles in preparing the ground that he was going to need me to walk. But I didn't see any of it, not until the light came later on. God was working in the darkness so that I might see Jesus in the light, just as he did on that first Easter. You know, when we find ourselves in darkness, we so rarely expect to see Jesus. And yet when the light comes, so often we are taken by surprise because we realise that God was there. He was working his miracles all along. And it's then, isn't it? It's then that we realise that we were never, ever truly alone, even in the darkness. Even in our darkness, even when the darkness hides Jesus from our eyes, God is there in the darkness, working his miracles, ensuring that the darkness will never win, ensuring that the light will always, always shine. Because he is there. Jesus is there in the darkness, and in the darkness he is risen. And so today, you know, however we find ourselves, whether we are wonderfully joyful and reminded of Jesus standing in the light of the empty tomb and of his resurrection, or whether we are there early in the morning while it is still dark, unable to see Jesus fully, wherever we are, the tomb is empty. And that gives us hope. Hope to face our own struggles, losses and disappointments, kind of whatever they are and whenever they come. Because the tomb reminds us that God is at work in the darkness and Jesus is risen and he is bringing the light. I was randomly reminded this week, and I don't know why, I just was, but I was randomly reminded of a couple of years ago when Notre Dame, one of the world's most iconic cathedrals, was destroyed by fire. And there was this photograph that became, I guess, quite iconic in its own way at the time, and it was taken by a journalist, and it shows like this dust cloud and the rubble in the half light of the cathedral, and above the altar stands this cross, and this just the golden shaft of light is shining through it from part of the roof that has been destroyed. And I think this photo is probably a really good illustration of how of what is a very dark and destructive world, we might see the resurrection afresh, not as something that is immune from darkness or disappointment or tragedy or pain, but rather as something mysterious and wonderful that comes from the darkness, that we might see, especially after the darkness and the pain of this last year, that there is a resurrection because of that very darkness. Jesus rose from the darkness so that for this world, so that it might lead us into a new life and a new light and a new hope. The miracle of the resurrection happened in the darkness so that we might be reminded that Jesus isn't just found in the light, but in the dark and the half-lit places too. Because when we realise that Jesus is risen, and he is risen in the darkness, and he is ready to reveal himself and bring us out into the light again, that's when we know that however we are feeling, we can always truly proclaim with both joy and hope that Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm going to pray for us and we're going to sing, and then we're going to symbolically share communion with one another. And communion is, do you know, it's such a special part of what we do as Christians, isn't it? It symbolizes the very story of our faith. And when Jesus gave communion to his disciples on Maundy Thursday, his command to them was very simple. He said, every time you do this, remember me. Remember the sacrifice that I made for you. Remember the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Remember the hope that came from a dark and empty tomb. And remember, that's such an important word, isn't it? Jesus and the Jewish people were really good at remembering. But for them, I think remembering is something a little bit different to what we do or how we see it now. When Jesus says, remember, he doesn't just mean think about something. For the Jewish people, remembering meant something. Remembering meant doing something. For example, if a father was to die, they would look at his son to remember him. When they saw the son, they remembered the father. But it wasn't just a memory. It was like the father was there with them, like he had become him. And if someone didn't have children, they would often build like a monument or some kind, so that when the people saw the monument, they would remember the person as if they were actually there with them. Now, of course, Jesus didn't have children. The bread and the wine were given so that we would remember him as if he were actually there, as if he is here today with us. Because when we celebrate communion, Jesus is with us, actually here with us today. And the bread and the wine, they aren't just symbols to help us remember a story that was told. Communion is an active reminder of Jesus being with us. Imagine, you know, when we take the bread and the wine, Jesus is with us. And it's not that they become Jesus, although I know some people do believe that, but it is that by his Spirit, he is with us, just as he was with us with his disciples on that Maundy Thursday. In sharing communion together, we are given all the hope and the benefits of the gospel. The reminder of forgiveness and of eternal life, yes, but also of healing and of deliverance and of help with all the things that we need. Because in this time, in this communion, Jesus is feeding us and equipping us with everything that we need. One of our old tutors from college, Ron, he's a bishop in America now, and he would always often tell us stories of how people would come to communion and receive healing at the altar rail. In one case, a blind woman received her sight after taking the bread and wine. Such is the power of Jesus. Such is the power of the meal that he has given us. And I think somewhere along the line, you know, perhaps we've, with the rules and the traditions around it, we often just forget just how powerful it can be. But you know what? In essence, it's so very, very simple. When we share in communion, even symbolically as we do tonight, if we do it with open and humble hearts, we receive Jesus. And that is good news. The good news that we have because Jesus is risen. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, God. Thank you that you make all things new. Thank you, God, that for the just the simply indescribable gift that you have given us through Jesus. Thank you that there is victory and power in your name. Thank you that in raising Jesus, you triumphed over sin and death, and you made for us a way back to you. You made for us a new life with you. Thank you that you had a plan for us right from the very beginning. Thank you that through Jesus you accomplished it. Thank you that you are here with us right now. And thank you that you are ready and eager and waiting to meet with each one of us. And God, wherever we are right now, we come to you and we confess again our need for you. We confess all the times where we have fallen short of the way that you would have us be. And we thank you, Jesus, that by your death and your resurrection, we are forgiven and free. And Jesus, we pray, whether we find ourselves in the darkness or in the light, we pray that we would feel your presence with us. We pray that you would shine your light in us and through us, that we might be at peace in the knowledge that you are God and you are able to work your miracles in any and all situations. Father, in this world, we live in times that seem so dark, times when the news can be frightening and the future is uncertain and unknown. But Father, thank you that we always have hope in you. Thank you for the protection and the promise that we have in your word. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love and the victory that is ours through Christ on the cross. Thank you that Jesus is our hope and our ever-present help in times of trouble. Thank you, Jesus, that because of your sacrifice, we have been redeemed. Thank you that in you, we are made new creations in Christ. And we pray that you would help us to shine your light into the darkness of the world. Help us to live for you. Help us to bring praise and glory to your name in all that we are and all that we do.